Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivational show on the planet. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. But you know how more people are going to know it? Let me just share with you how you can get the message out all around the world. Come on now. Go to iTunes, leave a five-star rating and a great comment. Okay, you're not allowed to listen to any more of my podcast if you don't leave a great review on iTunes, because I will find out. I will call Apple and I will ban you from iTunes. Now, you know I can't do that. And you know I wouldn't even do that, because I'm not that kind of, I'm not really that vengeful. I got a little bit of vengefulness in me, but not to that level. So why don't we just be cool? Why don't you just head on over to iTunes, open up the browser, leave a great review and a five-star rating, and you know, we'll all be besties forever. So hey, I want to talk about words today. Oh, by the way, if it's your first time listening to the podcast, my name's Sam Crowley. Head on over to everydayissaturday.com. Everydayissaturday.com. Enter your name and email so I can stay in touch with you. I'm not going to stalk you, spam you. I may offend you and motivate you, but that's about as far as we'll take it. Make sure you're on the email list, because I have a lot of fun and I want to bring you along, okay? So I want to talk about words, man. Words are a funny thing. Now, you don't think about words. When you think about words, you don't think they're funny, ha-ha, funny, but it's amazing. You know, words can inspire. Words can cut, and I mean they can cut deep. Words can offend, right? And as an individual who makes a living off of speaking and has been doing so for a little while now, I see the impact that words can have on an individual. And I'm going to share some personal stuff with you on today's show because, again, I mean, I don't have anything to hide. I mean, I'm not here to try to be somebody I'm not. And I want to kind of give you an idea of my story, a little bit about my story, because I think it's very relevant and it probably mirrors a lot of your story as well. I think we all have a lot in common, entrepreneurs especially. When you're going up every day, feels like sometimes you're swimming against the tide. We talk about the salmon, you know, the salmon. People travel from all around the world to go to Idaho and Alaska. Why do they do that? They want to see the salmon swim upstream, you know? Nobody wants to see a fish just kind of go with the flow. You know who goes with the flow? Dead fish. That's who goes with the flow. Don't ever go with the flow. But as it relates to words, you know, when I was growing up, I'm the youngest of eight kids. My mom, Catherine Crowley, God rest her soul. I mean, she died in 1997 of a heart attack. Sitting on our couch in the family room, smoking a cigarette. And just stopped, man. The heart just stopped. My brother Chris found her, and that was it. July 7th, 1997. And that was a very, very, very difficult time for me, personally. Very difficult time. I'd never lost a family member up to that point. And it's your mom. You get one mom. Now, my dad, he's still alive. I've seen him twice. He left when I was a few months old. I met him for the first time a couple of years ago. I'll go see him again in a few months here. I try to get back once a year now. He lives in Annapolis, Maryland. I don't have a relationship with my dad. You know, I do regret it. And I just never talked to him until just a couple of years ago. I don't know how somebody could leave a spouse to raise eight kids by themselves, especially as hard as my mom had it. She was, you know, alcoholic. She was on welfare. I mean, it was just a very difficult time for my mom. You know what's weird, though, is that I don't feel like I got gypped in a childhood. Now, I know that having a father in my life would have been great, especially had he actually been there and contributed anything. You know, like, could have gone out and throw the football with him, could have gone to my baseball games, my basketball games. I was a pretty good athlete in high school, and Would have loved to look out into the stands and be able to see anybody from my family in the stands, you know, at some point in time. But my family or my sisters or brothers were home from college, they would come to a game or two. But come on, let's just call it the way it is. It's not the same. And I'm getting to the point on words because I do have a point to make here. But I know a lot of listeners on my show have a broken heart. You share private messages with me. You send me emails. And I know your heart is broken. And I know your heart is broken because of a loved one. And I know your heart is broken because of tragedies and instances and situations that have happened in your life. You know, and it doesn't need to be a death of a family member. It can be somebody excommunicating you, somebody cutting you out of their life, somebody cutting you with what they say or what they think or what they gossip about you. And I still struggle with this a lot. It bothers me when people say something negative about me. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't bother me as much nearly as it used to even 5 years ago, because when you put yourself out there as an entrepreneur, when you put yourself out there as a business person, let's just say the internet in general in the past 10 years, you're now, you know, you put a website or a blog up, you're public. So people can take a shot no matter what. And it doesn't hit me as much as it used to. Back when I first started, we're all human, right? You put a blog up and you get 100 comments on your blog, 99 of them are great and one of them is nasty. And so what do? Do you focus on the 99 great ones? No, you focus on the one nasty one. Like, who do you think you are? You know, I don't do that as much. And I would encourage you not to do that as well. Just, you can't pay attention to the negative, because what's it going to do? It's going, I promise you, it's going to sabotage your success. You ain't going to please everybody. I don't care who you are. You could be, if you could be Mother Teresa. I mean, I think if you Google Mother Teresa scam, you'll find negative comments about Mother Teresa. So if she can have negative comments in Google, so can you and so can I. And I just think that it's a situation where you got to just move on. You ain't going to please anybody. I mean, everybody. So, you know, when I was growing up, my mom used to say this phrase, and usually it was in a situation when she was very challenged and she was having a tough day and she may have been drinking, you know. But let me also just say this. My mom was a great mom. I think for what she had to work with, I don't know. I couldn't have done it, man. I honestly would have contemplated probably suicide. I honestly would have. I don't even know how the hell she put food on the table. I just don't. Think about that. You got 8 kids under the age of 17. Then a couple of them start to go off to college and move out, but still you're left with 5, 6 at home. I don't even know. We had a huge house, a piece of crap house, but it was still a home, you know? It was a home is a home. A home's a home. I don't care. If it's got a roof over it, yeah, it was freezing. Yeah, it was cold in the wintertime. Yeah, the ice was forming on the inside of the windows, as crazy as that sounds. But I like I said, I don't feel like I got gypped. I really don't. But my mom used to say this phrase. She would say, when it was getting really tough, she would say, you know, I never asked for you, and I never wanted you. I never asked for you, and I never wanted you. And it wouldn't bother me. I don't know why. It just wouldn't bother me. I would just walk out of the room. And I don't know if maybe I was a little mature beyond my years or what. I think about it a lot now. I would never say that to my girls. Now, I've said a lot to my girls because, boy, they can be challenging. Let me tell you something. God gave me 3 girls for a reason, and I think it's to expose, to make me better, to make me completely turn me into a different person. Because if I had 3 boys, we'd be wrestling, throwing a football, beating each other up, and, you know, that's what. 3 girls, this has been wild. Now, I love my daughters, okay? I love my daughters. And I know when I get old, they're going to love me. They're going to take care of me. They better. But it's been a wild ride, man, raising 3 girls. But I love them so much. But I would never say that to my daughters. I've said a lot to my daughters, you know, especially around bedtime. Look, we're human. Can we just pretend that we're not Ozzie and Harriet and Mike and Carol Brady for a minute, all right? We all say things. We all, you know, flub the dub. At the end of the day, we're tired. Kids aren't going to sleep. They're not doing their homework. They're not brushing their teeth. They're fighting. You know, we blow it, okay? So let's not pretend we don't. So I say some things to my kids that I go to bed and I think, oh, God, I really wish I wouldn't have blown up on Paige or Madeline or Laura like that. I really wish. But they were words. And the good thing about kids, I see it in my own kids, they're resilient. We all wake up the next morning and, you know, we start the day great. Every day starts great. Well, most every day starts great. We have the intention of every day starting great. And the words that my mom used to say to me is, I never asked for you and I never wanted you. Because she had a career. My mom was a smart person. I mean, she was a very intelligent person. And it had to frustrate the living crap out of her to know that she could have been anything in this world, but yet had to dedicate her life to raising kids instead of going for her dream. She never got a chance. And not only that, when I was in eighth grade, my mom broke her hip and was laid up for 3 months. While she was laid up, she got laid off from her job. And every day I would have to, I would wake up, make her breakfast, get her dressed, empty. You had a commode next to the hospital bed that was set up in our living room. I had to empty that, get her situated for the whole day, go to school, come home, do my paper route, make dinner, all this stuff, you know? And I didn't mind doing it. And I could tell because my mom was sober those 3 months in the hospital bed, obviously couldn't drink. My mom handled it like a trooper. She was a nice person. She was very grateful. As a matter of fact, my eighth grade at Christmas, she bought me an Atari. I mean, we didn't have any money. My mom got me an Atari. And she said she got me that Atari for how nice I was in helping her through that situation when she was laid up in our hospital bed in our living room. So, you know, when you get an opportunity to see people, you got to catch people doing something good. There's a great book called The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard. I encourage you to pick it up if you've never read it because it talks about catching people doing something right. You know, and I would catch my mom and glimpses of the Catherine Crowley, the sweet lady, the smart lady, the great sense of humor. I would focus more of my energy on that person and those words than I would focus on the depressed, a little bit angry individual who may or may not have drank a little too much that day. I would let that person go because that wasn't who my mom was. And if people are offending you with their words, you got to understand, like I talked about on the other shows, man, people, everybody's got a hidden wound and you don't know what they're battling. They could be battling a terminal disease. They could be battling their own demons. They could be battling alcoholism, a separation, having an affair in their marriage or something along those lines. They could have had somebody just offend them 5 minutes before they offended you. And they're just for no better reason, taking it out on the next person they see. But I'd really believe that words have no meaning, but the meaning we give them, okay? I really believe that because going back to my own childhood, I don't believe my mom meant that. I don't believe she wishes that she never had me and she never wanted me. I believe in that moment, that's what she said out of anger, out of frustration of all of this other stuff that was going on. So when people say things to me that are nasty or spiteful, of course I get offended. I'm a human being, okay? I'm not saying I don't. I'm like, oh, it's not like I say, well, you know, words have no meaning and you must just be offended. But no, I get pissed off and I get hurt and I take that. But then what I didn't used to do that I do now is I process it and I think about what's in their heart and I think about there's good in everybody, all right? And if they're being bad to you, it may be they're having a bad day. You know, it may be that they're going through something so incredibly hard that you have no idea. So I'd say cut them a little bit of slack. Now, what you can't do, and here's kind of the tap dance on the head of the needle. You know, if you have people who continue to offend you, and I'm thinking of family, all right, I'm just thinking of family, not necessarily my family, just saying family is the most difficult to deal with because you only get one set of siblings, you only get one set of parents, and you got to do your best. And the book that I am most familiar with, the Bible, says, honor thy father and mother, for example. But I have a lot of listeners that share situations with me. Their parents aren't very nice to them. Their parents have excommunicated them. Their parents, their own parents have, you know, cut them out. And, you know, they say, how does that resonate with what you feel, Sam, with the Bible and all this? And I say, well, there is a law of diminishing returns. There is a point where the point of no return, actually, you can forgive, but you don't have to keep throwing yourself at the mercy of your parents or your siblings or these people that are in your family. The Bible doesn't talk about that. I don't believe that. I believe you give it an honest effort. Hey, I'm here. Let's try to reconcile. You don't want to? Are you going to keep talking like this and acting like, okay, well, I forgive you, but I can't continue to put my, that would be insanity. What is that, right? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You forgive the sin. You forgive the person. You forgive the act. Right? And you move on. And I think that has been, because words are so, I can see the other side of all of this that I haven't talked about on today's show is how words can inspire, how words can motivate, how words can empower. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I've seen it from stage. I've seen people's lives literally change, literally just like that. They change because they hear a word and they give the meaning. It may not even have been the same meaning that I intended it, but it's the meaning that they gave it, and the switch got flipped and they were off and running in a completely new direction with a brand new sense of, I can do this. That wasn't the meaning I necessarily had for the word. That's the meaning they gave the word. So as I said, words have no meaning but the meaning that you give to them. You know, if somebody says, oh, it rained outside and got stuck in traffic, well, I don't know what that means. There's two things going on there. It rained outside and you got stuck in traffic. Now, the negative angle on that would be, that sucks. It got rained outside. I didn't have an umbrella. This brand new suit that I bought is soaking wet. My hair is now completely matted to my head, and I'm an hour late to work because I got stuck in traffic. For somebody like myself, if I'm heading to the gym or something, it's an opportunity to put a Wayne Dyer, a Tony Robbins, a Zig Ziglar, or a Joel Osteen audio in my car and absorb it. You know, this actually did happen to me. This is a great example. I didn't even think about this. I was going to the gym about a month or so ago. I jumped on the highway at 5:30. I don't normally work out that late, but I jumped on 275 here, which is the loop around Cincinnati. And it usually takes me 8-10 minutes to get to the gym. 275, I get up a couple exits and I'm off, right? Well, this night at 5:30, there was just a parking lot on 275. I'm texting my wife, literally just stuck. I mean, I could have just put the car in park. I mean, we're supposed to be speed limit 65 miles an hour. I was parked, literally in park. And I called my wife, or I texted my wife. I said, this is crazy. Check the news. What's going on? She's like, oh my God, like one exit up is a horrible accident. There's life flight there and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay. Well, my first response went from my selfish thought of I'm going to be late working out. I wanted to be home by 7. Now, I may not even get to the gym till 7, which is actually the time I got there. 90 minutes to go 6 miles. But my next thought was, I hope the people who got in the accident were okay. When it turns out, when I dropped past it, it was a UPS truck semi plowed into an individual, and I don't think any lives were lost, thank God. But I'm thinking, what's more important? My little gym workout I'm 90 minutes late for, and yeah, I didn't get a chance to tuck my kids in that night and kiss them goodnight, but what about the lives of somebody else? And I started thinking about another thing. This is an opportunity for me to plug in a great audio. Tony, Joel Osteen, Wayne Dyer, whatever. I always have these in my front seat for just this exact situation. If I'm in the car for long trips and things like that, I plug them right in. Plug in the iPhone, boom, comes through my speakers. And I listen to a tremendous, tremendous 90-minute audio from Wayne Dyer on the power of intention. I've actually talked about it on my own podcast. And it literally shifted my mind, not only for that workout, but for the next few days, I was able to just the words that Wayne Dyer was speaking through the audio into my ears about the power of intention was amazing. And I'm not so sure I would have ever got to that audio in the next few weeks because I don't know another situation when I would have had it plugged in like that. And it really changed. This was February. It changed my entire month. I'm telling you, that's the power of words. So words can have a negative impact. They can be cutting. They can hurt. I mean, they can hurt a lot. Or you can let that go. You can just let it go and give it the meaning that you want to give it. For example, the person I talked about, stuck in traffic. Well, for me, being stuck in traffic means I'm reaching right for the audio and I'm about to get blessed by some amazing wisdom from somebody who's going to teach me something that I don't already know. That's what I think about. So that's the meaning I would give it. Hey, I got stuck in traffic today. Oh, awesome. Who'd you listen to? What are you talking about? I don't listen to anybody. I got pissed. I was looking to talk radio the whole time and missed work by an hour and a half. Well, that's the meaning you gave that situation. That's not the meaning I would give it. You see what I mean? So think about that. The next time you hear words that may not exactly be what you want to hear in that situation, cut the person a little bit of slack. And then give it the meaning that you want to give it. And I promise you, it's going to help. All right? Hey, my name's Sam Crowley. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let me know you're listening to the show. And make sure, if you haven't given us a 5-star rating on iTunes, you need to stop this right now. head on over to iTunes, hit that 5-star rating, leave a great comment so other people can find the show, and have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.